Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, as always, Ben Thomas. You know, when we start to talk about technology, it's incredible to talk about speeds and feeds and opportunities, but sometimes you love to talk about technology at the end of the line, the rugged technology, the kind of technology that's not always sitting in an office building. And I wanted to talk specifically today about how technology like that is used at the end of the line in the world of energy and utilities. So to talk about that, I brought my friend Mead on from Panasonic Connect. Mead, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Ben, for having me.
So Mead, I got to ask, this is probably one of my favorite conversations that I get to have at shows like DistribuTech and in the world of utilities, because I come from the world of technology. So I want to ask at a high level, it's easy to say, hey, you know, we sit in our offices and we look at these laptops and all these things, but there's sort of the rugged side of the world too, which is a little bit more fun, a little bit more drop friendly, a little bit more technologically savvy. I want to ask at a high level, what are some of the biggest differences between maybe the traditional office climate controlled technologies and those in the field rugged technologies?
Right, for sure. As far as technology goes, I mean, the specs of a rugged device are critical, of course, but you know, we're seeing now in our world, like mobility, right? More and more people are out and about. We had some crazy stuff happen years back where people just could not be in the office, right? And the idea of something that works better in the field has kind of been in the industry for a long time, but it is critical for a lot of people out in the field to utilize something rugged. And it's not necessarily just from a perspective of something that can not break when you drop it or whatever, but it is the ergonomics of it, right? The ability to see the screen, see what you're viewing, be able to kind of easily touch and interact with that screen as well. So it's really a good time in our space to be out there and be an option for our client base in the utility space. The main job of a lot of these guys out in the field is not necessarily to do data entry or to look at information. They're used to old days of looking at map books and drawings and whatnot that are physical paper, and having to move to some sort of digital form. You really need to offer them the best of breed, right? And we feel that, you know, we offer that to them. It's not going to be like for like, but we try to give them the best environment that they can have.
Well, you know, what's interesting too is just because of the natural life cycle of how rugged technologies evolved, it's not just about, hey, let's make keys that don't break or let's make screens that don't scratch. Now we can have actual meaningful conversations about leveraging technologies for AI and computing and software technologies. And that's one of the spaces too that Panasonic Connect really has thrived over the years, specifically in the Toughbook division. Talk to me a little bit about how that need has evolved, right? From that kind of just manual data entry, I need a piece of technology that just is going to work. As we've evolved to connectivity, 5G, all these sorts of different infield applications.
Yeah, you know, definitely you have to have the robustness, especially with AI coming into play and utilizing its capabilities. But it's also now building out the ecosystem within that mobility, right? So the beauty of Panasonic Connect is that we are really beyond just that device, that box. We are looking at really kind of that user's environment. We want to understand what auxiliary solutions that they're using, what other types of components they're using in the field, and what's missing, right? So from Panasonic Pro Services, we try to go in there and look at the other solutions that we can try to help offer up to them. To stuff as basic as the ability to get product from their warehouse out to the field in a quick manner. Because a lot of times, you know, organizations are very resource limited or strapped. And we don't want to see them in a situation where they're buying, again, new technology that is sitting, you know, weeks, if not months, sometimes in a warehouse because of their lack of resources or the inability to have that support. So Panasonic is able to come up and provide that level of tier one support in from the level of doing imaging to kitting the devices to kind of boxing them up in certain ways to get out to a vehicle just ready to go, right? So it's as simple as that to kind of some of the more interesting stuff where we see security being a number one play in the utility space. The world we live in right now is the threats are just different. You know, it's not someone with a gun, it's someone who's really good at hacking, yeah. Right? And our devices are vulnerable, can be vulnerable too, and we need to know what products are out there. There's the slew of security solutions out there, but we're also looking for the new stuff that we can partner up with and promote and help to package into our solutions. So we're trying to do that with our products like Smart Compliance, which protects devices from below the operating system, whereas your more traditional products in security will be from the operating system and above. So it's really just, again, trying to stay up to speed, and really look at ourselves as kind of, how are we going to be a trusted consultant to our client base in the utility space? How can we do better? Not just, again, having the speeds of feeds of that one device, but again, building out that ecosystem.
Well, I love that you called out specifically the world of utilities, right? I mean, there's obviously a million different applications from public safety to healthcare and sort of everything in between for rugged technology like this. But what are some of the specific needs of the energy vertical that really kind of make it unique for technologies like this?
Yeah, well, absolutely. So, I mean, the unique thing, and first thing, I love the utility industry. When I first came into it, what's so crazy is the people on the street don't understand what it takes to turn your lights on, to open that faucet up, to get the clean water, the relatively cost-effective energy that we have out there, and what's really going on behind the scenes. So that behind the scenes is not only in the office, but it's a majority of it is in the field. So these guys are out there maintaining assets, really their infrastructure, right? It's not in a building. Well, some of it's in a building, but it is really out in the field. It is literally running down streets across rural counties, across areas. And with that, that takes a lot of resources to go out there and do it. So there's been a workforce out there to support this environment. But as new tech comes on, as new stresses come into our grid because of a need for energy, we have to think about not working harder, but working smarter. And so with that being said, the utility space has always needed it. They utilize their data from a perspective of seeing their assets through GIS data or as-built drawings, engineering drawings that they have to access in the field. They're going from a hard copy, large drawing that would maybe tattered and torn now to a device that can carry that same information, but in a strong, rugged, reliable device. And then, of course, all those additional layers within that.
You know, I'm curious too, we talk a lot about sort of the technicians at the end of the line, but I want to ask, take a step even removed from that, right? Maybe it's the ISP locally or the utility locally. I think a lot of times people see connected devices as sort of a liability and threat, right? Which they very much are, all endpoints are. So the natural sort of question is, well, hey, okay, I need to get to the point where I've established that I need folks to have technology at the end of the line. But then the question sort of comes in is, how do I build these systems and technologies into existing workflows and systems, right? Because I'm sure probably most of the cases that you guys see aren't where you're going in and building an entire IT system from scratch where they've never looked at devices before, anything like that. How is it important and why is it so important to kind of build and design those products and services with a sort of a proactive but also retroactive and retrofit process in mind?
Yeah, It's a great point. A lot of stuff, that starts out in deployments, whether that be software solutions or projects out there, starts in a boardroom and starts with this idea of like, okay, we have a project, we have to go out, we're going to implement this or we're going to upgrade this. And we are a cog in this wheel, right? But by no means do we feel we're the only cog. We're out there to kind of reflect as we're a vessel to a lot of other systems out there in mobility. That's the asset management, the customer service applications and whatnot. So the key thing for us is to be very open to understanding again what's out there and how we need to pivot our solution or how we need to present it or know that we might need to kind of improve in certain areas, right? Because again, if you're not always kind of self-reflecting and evolving, you're not going to survive. So we're very good at that. And again, you have to do that from a utility specific environment because utilities have their own space. There's their own pains. And yes, there are a lot of people out in the field, but there's certain environments and systems that they have to deal with. Panasonic is really good at trying to address that and knowing that, again, it's a moving target, right? So you can't always kind of go into saying, hey, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be for the next 5 years, 10 years. You have to understand that things are fluid and you have to be able to kind of adjust and adapt for these environments.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting too, when you consider as part of the larger technology ecosystem that a utility may have, you know, they like to have control, right? They like to have those assets under management, including those devices in the field. But a lot of times, our personal devices become sort of that I don't know that convenience is the right word, but that gateway for a lot of things maybe to happen that introduce maybe some liability from a utility standpoint. How do you have that conversation maybe with I guess a better question is, how do you design the technology in a way that makes it usable for that end of the line technician, so he or she isn't exposing their personal device isn't exposing information from their personal device onto the network or things like that? How much does that conversation play into it?
Yeah, and again, that's the important thing to bring to the table when you do these deployment projects and in mobility and stuff is that, again, when we're sitting here in a closed environment and we're talking about what piece of hardware is going to be, you know, again, carrying this other solution, the software solution to the field for us, it's very easy to default to saying, hey, I can look at some consumer grade device and it has similar speeds and feeds and I can save some money and whatnot, but not, you know, necessarily take into account like, well, what does that device, how does it act in the field, right? And again, not necessarily just from a drop perspective or just that it won't break or whatnot, but again, can I see the screen? Can I interact well with it? When those conversations happen earlier on, so you know, that's super critical. Now, again, going back to this idea of being fluid and always being able to kind of understand that things are a moving target, when I did project management years back, you always understand that when a project's done, it's not really done, right? So you're going to go deploy something and then you're going to have a check-in. So you come in 3 months later, 6 months later and get a status. Let's debrief on this. Let's see what's going on now in the field. That's really important in this space of mobile deployments and knowing that, hey, we maybe chose to go consumer grade in one area and maybe rugged in another. Let's go figure out, was that working for us? Or was that not? And then again, it's the same for even in the rugged space. There's the form factor that Panasonic offers, which are multitudes between the tablets, the clamshell laptop style, and the in-between. Those are different flavors of getting this data out there and getting the environment going. But again, you start with that in the office or in that boardroom, and then it's not until you're out there really experiencing it. So maybe at that next refresh, you realize that, hey, we were doing tablets for the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, but we realized the sector of our group would be more optimal in a clamshell laptop environment. So it's really staying plugged into this kind of idea of just always checking in on your environment, you know, questioning it, trying to understand, like, how can we do things better, right? You're not going to have there's not going to be a silver bullet, that kind of button that's fixing everything. But you can always say, how can I incrementally get better and better at what we're doing?
Well, look, it also introduces another challenge too, as we continue to expand, is that as more things become dependent on our technologies, whether it be software, whether it be applications, things like that, the requirement for technical specs do go up, right? Yeah. So as much as we don't always like to talk about tech speeds and feeds, there is an element of that, right? Because we've got AI, we've got cloud devices running, we've got people doing, you know, LiDAR scans from their devices and stuff in the field to make sure things were maintained and fixed properly. How has that conversation, that increased demand for the AI and cloud computing tools, increased sort of the demand for maybe some of those higher level specs, and how has that translated into the world of rugged technology?
Yeah, it's making sure we're up on our game as far as trying to stay current and staying with the best speeds and feeds of the environment, right? So if you don't have an engine that's going to run a certain application, then yeah, it can be a problem. So I think that's, again, a value that we have, is that by being participating in this vertical, really understanding how to develop relationships, synergies between other companies, these other solution sets, and understanding where they're going to say, hey, well, how am I going to be able to support your new, you know, application A or your new software that's going to need this? We're always, again, asking that and putting it into our environment to say, okay, how are we going to get there? So when they're out there with their solution, that our product's going to support that. Panasonic is really good at that. That's one of the, again, I feel a differentiator in our company.
You know, Meet, I want to ask you, I always end just about every interview I do with this question. I'm going to ask you to pull your crystal ball out. This may be a trickier one because our world is evolving so quickly, right? Even the last 2 or 3 years, you walk around at shows like DistribuTech and you see how dramatically our industry has changed over the last couple of years in the world of utilities. What are some of the things coming down the pipe? Now, I'm not asking you for your roadmap, by the way. I'm not asking for any of that. But what are some of the technologies, maybe use cases, applications that are going to come down the road that will continue to inform the product design process, the use cases, and help support the utilities?
Yeah. It's twofold. Obviously, in the space of Toughbook and the rugged environment, we're, again, always looking at our devices and saying, how can we make these better? How can we make them more ergonomic, more design friendly, incorporating modules to them from heat detection to just the modularity of the device, right? That's kind of a continuous game, right? That we got to do that process. And then some things that you're just like, hey, this is a really good design, might need just some fine tweaks. But going more so, I feel Panasonic Connect overall as a provider of this solution is not looking at it, going back to that like box, right? We are looking at the workflow, the ecosystem in this mobility world, right? So it's now saying, okay, who do we need to align with from a company perspective as far as being strategic with other solution sets out there, adding additional offerings that aren't necessarily a rugged component, but maybe another additional service that we can offer to help, again, get product out to the field, get solutions out to the field for our client base so they're working in an optimal way. It's not very, you know, a blow your mind type statement, but it's the truth, and it's the right thing to do.
Well, that's right, B2B. You know? That's blue collar and skilled trades in general.
I know for sure, and it's but you'd be surprised that a lot of companies have a challenge doing that, right? And it's something you constantly have to pivot on. And one of the things I liked when I came on with Panasonic was that they have internally a process to evaluate, and this process is very, you know, it's fluid, but it's also meticulous and it's done right. So I think we're set up for a good future.
Well, last question here, and then we'll wrap. You know, Mead, I know there are folks listening who may have their entire, you know, IoT ecosystems and technology ecosystems built. There may be other folks who say, hey, I'm looking to get this started for the first time, and sort of probably everybody in between. If people want to learn more kind of about you guys, maybe a good place to start, where can folks reach out to you at?
Yeah, I mean, just look us up, Panasonic Connect, North America. We have regional representatives. We work through the reseller network that knows our products. We're constantly out there within the trade organizations, the user groups to try to be present. Just reach out to us. We're online. Thank you, Ben.
Well, I'll tell you
appreciate
what, we appreciate you coming on the show today and walking down the street and leaving your booth to come say hi to us up here. It's always a great interview. Thanks so much for coming on.